This is the MF Cashflow Podcast with Mike Fisher. We pull back the curtain of real estate investing and share the secrets to building the life of financial freedom you've always dreamed of.
Hey guys, Mike Fisher here, MF Cashflow. Guys, today I've got two special guests with me, TC and Anna. They're from 1031 Exchange Company. They can tell you more about it. I've used them for several transactions myself, and I know the value that these guys bring, and the education, and it can be a little tricky and stuff, and there's certain deadlines and time frames and stuff, but Anna's been doing this for 13 years, and TC, I think you said 3 years, is that right?
Yeah.
3 years. So guys, welcome to the MF Cashflow. You can take it however you want, man. It could be Mike Fisher, it could be motherfucking, whatever the hell you want it to be. I'm here to keep it real and bring value to my listeners. So, guys, just tell me a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into kind of what questions do people ask when they're doing a 1031 exchange for the first time?
Yeah, absolutely. So our company is called IPX 1031. And although the name might be a little ambiguous, we're actually the 1031 company for Chicago Title as well as Fidelity National Title. We all have the same parent company, which is Fidelity National Financial. It's a Fortune 500 company that is the largest title insurance provider in the U.S. And all we do day in and day out are facilitate 1031 exchanges.
Fantastic. So you must know my good friend Desiree Wilson.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she's awesome, man. She's awesome. She was just texting me this morning and telling me how awesome I am. I'm like, come on, stop it. You're filled with all these good words. So how about you, Anna? A little bit about you. How'd you guys get into this business anyway? You could knock that one out.
Well, I kind of grew up just wanting to be a 1031 nerd and, you know, filled my dreams here at IPX. No, I'm just kidding. 1031s is really all I've done my entire career. I used to work for a small independent 1031 company and then have been here at IPX for almost 11 years. So it's really all that I've ever done. And we're, you know, both TC and I are kind of on the sales side and business development side, but a big part of our job is also helping our clients structure transactions. So, you know, if you call us up and say, hey, Anna or TC, we want to set up a 1031 exchange, we go through all the basic guidelines, make sure you're aware of the time periods, we raise any flags that we see. And I would say about 70% of the exchanges that we do are fairly vanilla, but about 30% of the exchanges that we do involve a complex issue. So, you know, it's a reverse exchange because the client is buying their new property first, or they're selling property in a partnership and some partners want to do a 1031 exchange and some don't. Or, you know, they're buying the replacement property from a sibling or a related party. So that's kind of where we really dive in and play an advisory role and really help structure those types of transactions. And we as a company nationally do almost 30,000 exchanges a year.
Holy crap, man, that's a lot. Wow, that's amazing. Tell me about the team. I know I've spoke to Don many times. That guy, I don't know how he, like, he must have a phone in each hand. Anytime I call, he always picks up the phone.
yes, Don is actually a robot. That'll be our little secret, but he's not human. So that's typically how he gets all that done. But the team here in Chicago, in addition to TC and myself, is about 20 other people that only work on 1031 exchanges. Like I said, we're on the business development side, but we have 4 exchange coordinators. So Don is one of those. We have about 6 attorneys and CPAs who really focus on, you know, keeping up with the regulations, making sure we're compliant. We have a whole team that does reverse and improvement exchanges. So there's about 20 of us in Chicago, which is our hub for the Midwest. And then nationally, we have about 100 employees.
Damn, that's amazing. So let's jump into it. For the beginner part, you've already blown me out of the water for the 30%. I'm like, yeah, I want to know more, but part of me is like, I hope I never have to learn that. But the other part is like, I had a guest on here a few weeks ago, and that's what he loves is all the complex stuff because that's where the money's at. That's where people are not doing it because it's just too damn complex. So, but for the people that are just like, hey, I want to do a 1031 exchange, you know, you guys came as a referral, and most likely you guys came from Desiree, I'm sure. But I've got contracts with both CT and Fidelity, one of the same. Actually, you might have came from Castle Law. Boy, look at the plugs going in here, man. Castle Law, Fidelity. Wow. I'm sure you know Gary Davidson over at Castle Law too, right?
Of course. We've worked with Gary for years.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really nice guy. Yes, yes. You can laugh now. He's really not. Anyway.
He's nice to us. That's all we can say.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. No, he's nice. He is a nice guy. Very knowledgeable. So, guys, if you're looking for a straight-up attorney that does a shit ton of deals, Gary Davidson, Castle Law. But let's jump into it, though, Anna and TC. Tell me what a traditional, you know, 70%er would be calling to learn, because probably all they know is like, hey, 1031 exchange means I can roll out of one and go into another and not pay tax. But what does that mean? And then how long is that tax deferred?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, 1031 exchange is a simple transaction, and it allows taxpayers to defer paying taxes on the sale of investment property by purchasing like-kind investment property in a specific time frame. So ultimately, a sale plus a purchase equals a tax deferral. When it comes to the time frames, what you would need to be aware of is that you would have 45 days to identify property and 180 days to close on that potential property. And both of those time periods start really ticking away from the day of your closing. So you have 180 days total. That 45 days is within that 180 days.
Is there any exceptions ever to this?
Generally speaking, no. The only time there would be a type of extension is if there was a presidentially declared disaster.
Wow, that sounds pretty serious in itself. That would probably fall back into the 30% then.
Or maybe it doesn't happen very often, but that is the only time that there would be an extension on those time periods.
Is this only real estate?
Yes. Only investment real estate qualifies.
Gotcha. And does it matter the size? Could it be obviously a single family? And how big of an exchange, you know, can you do? And what is the biggest exchange that you've seen? Both of you guys can answer that.
Yeah. So we've handled exchanges anywhere from $100,000 single family homes to $100 million hotels, and really everything in between.
All right, so Anna, you got to speak on this one, because with all the experience you got, tell me the story of the largest one that you've done.
Largest one I did was $280 million, and it was property within Disneyland that was owned by a REIT. So that's the biggest one that I've had in my career. As a company, the biggest one that we've seen was the Waldorf Astoria in New York, sold for $2 billion, and it was a $2 billion exchange.
Wow. That's incredible. So I'm curious to know, like, how do your fees run? Does it matter the size of the 70%, the 30%, or the dollar amount?
The fees, typically we charge a flat fee. So for a regular exchange, we charge about $1,000. Depending on how many properties you buy, could be a little bit more, you know. So anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 is what you'd be looking at for a regular exchange. Once it is a complex exchange, like a reverse exchange or an improvement exchange, those fees start at about $6,000 and then vary depending on the size and complexity of the transaction. And then if it's a regular exchange but it's a big dollar amount, those kind of sophisticated clients tend to do a lot of negotiation with us on the account structure that we use. And a lot of the times the account structure is a little bit more expensive. So those can run you $2,000, $2,500, or $3,000, just again, depending on the size. So generally speaking, it's a flat fee, but if it's a reverse or improvement exchange, it would start at $6,000, but then it would vary. There's different kind of buckets depending on the size and complexity.
Gotcha. So you mentioned improvement exchange. Are you meaning that you can do, for example, I have a property that I'm going to sell. It's in excellent shape. There's nothing wrong with it. Can I go and buy a property that is distressed and then take a loan out on that? How does that work?
The improvement exchange is the transaction that allows you to use the proceeds from your sale to improve the new property. One of the 1031 guidelines is that you have to buy a property equal or greater in value. So if you're selling property for $500,000, the new property would have to be $500,000 to get the full benefit and the full tax deferral. But if you buy a property for $300,000, you can make $200,000 of improvements onto that property within the 180-day period to get it to the $500,000 value and get the full tax deferral. So that's the kind of instance that you would need to implement an improvement exchange.
Gotcha. And can you still use a loan in all that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow, that's powerful, powerful tool, man. It's super awesome. So how do you guys, I would imagine there's got to be some type of recording going back to the government on this too. How is that handled?
It's actually not handled by us. We don't report anything to the IRS at all.
Okay.
We rely on our client's CPA to do that. So when you go to file your tax return, if you've done a 1031 exchange, you let your CPA know, hey, there was a sale, there was a profit, but I'm not paying taxes on that profit because I completed a successful exchange. And then your CPA would report that exchange using what's called an 8824 form. So they're really responsible for reporting that tax deferral, and kind of, you know, filling out the appropriate information to make sure that the IRS receives that in the appropriate fashion.
Wow. That's, the responsibility really, the burden really falls back on the person doing the exchange is what you're saying then, right?
That is absolutely true. And that's why we only charge $1,000.
That makes sense. Is there any responsibility at all for the title company to do any reporting on it?
Not at all. The title company does nothing different other than they send the proceeds from the sale to the 1031 account. And I'm sure TC is going to talk about this in a minute, but one of our roles in the transaction is that we hold the funds in between the sale and the purchase. So if you let us know, like, hey, we're doing a 1031 exchange and Desiree is going to be my closer, we'll call up Desiree and say, hey, Desiree, this client's doing an exchange. Please make sure that the funds from that sale are wired directly to us. That's really the only responsibility that the title company has.
Right, because that is required by to have, what do they call that, a receiver, if I recall right? I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah, so you have to, some people might be thinking like, well, why can't I just open up an account and put the funds in there and I should be fine to do my own 1031 exchange? The IRS actually says that if at any point in time the seller is in constructive receipt of their funds, they're actually going to be taxed. So that's why you have to hire us, a qualified intermediary, to hold the funds for you for the duration of your exchange. Because, as I said, if at any point in time you have receipt of those funds, you're going to be taxed. And that's what we're trying to avoid here, or at least defer.
Gotcha. So, good question. So you hold the funds until you close. And then if there's any remaining funds, how is that handled?
So the remaining funds we can only send back to the account holder that we've opened the exchange under. And those funds would be taxable to them.
Gotcha. Okay. So again, that's not even recorded. Nothing's recorded. It just falls back to who's the receiver on the property.
Who's correct.
Doing the action. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, cool. And so from that point of, like, you guys wire the funds to the closing, and then it's just handled just as like a cash transaction or you know, cash deposit towards that transaction?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, some of the other guidelines, too, that you would have to be aware of in a 1031 exchange is that you'd have to have like-kind property. So this is where some people get a little hung up. When they hear like-kind, if they're selling a single-family rental home, they're like, well, can I only buy a single family home? And that's absolutely not true. So like any investment, real estate is like kind to other investment real estate. So you could sell residential by commercial, you could sell commercial by farmland, you can sell industrial property and buy residential. Any like kind or any investment real estate is like kind to other investment real estate.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I asked this similar question also, and when I was doing my exchange, and but is there any point that you, because it's just deferred. At what point do you, if you keep on deferring it and deferring it, at what point do you actually pay the tax?
Gotcha. So there is the opportunity actually for it to be in perpetuity. So in the 1031 world, we have the only really fun little saying that we can make out of taxes is swap till you drop. So if you keep swapping it and then pass away, those taxes you aren't liable for, and whoever is inheriting your properties actually inherits it at a stepped up basis.
Wow. Okay.
So they actually avoid paying the taxes.
That's pretty sweet. That's a nice way of telling the IR and the S to fuck off, right?
One could say that, absolutely.
I mean, I don't really care what they, if they listen to me anyway. I'm sure they're not listening to MF Cashflow, so it really doesn't matter. But I would like to, you know, have that opportunity every once in a while to, you know, just to be able to, I mean, they gave us these ability, you know, to do the 1031 exchange. And with all these laws that have been changing towards, you know, investors in the last few years, do you see, or is there any talk about 1031 exchanges being, you know, being changed up at all, or has there been any changes in the last couple of years?
Yeah, there has been. So 1031s used to also involve personal property. And with the 2017 tax reform, that portion of the 1031 code was eliminated completely. So now it's only real estate that qualifies for 1031 treatment.
Okay. Any talk about doing some more changes down the road or anything that's in the works?
Not that we're aware of, no.
Yay, let's celebrate that one, man. That's a win.
Oh, I mean, job security is kind of what we're here for.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So how do people get in touch with you guys? I wowed by, you know, how fast Don is. Like you said, he's a robot. I don't even know how the guy, like, he's just, seriously, he must have a headset or something. He's just super, super quick. But I keep on talking about Don. I'm not sure if you want to give out Don's number, your number, or how do people get in touch with your company?
Yeah, you can absolutely reach out to me at any time. My cell phone is the best way to get a hold of me. That number is 312-520-0897. And again, that's 312-520-0897. But yeah, that's mostly how people get in touch with us. They'll call with any questions, whether it's for an upcoming exchange or a 911 from their closing table. We prefer a bit more of a heads up than being at the closing table, but we can handle anything and everything for a regular exchange.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I was literally about a week away from closing on one of the properties, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a 1031 on this. And so what I did was I had a couple two flats in the southeast suburbs of Chicago, and I sold those off at the same time, and I ended up buying, I love Arizona, Scottsdale, and I just bought some condos out there and Airbnb out there, and it worked out well, but it was like a last minute thing to me. And I talked to somebody on your team, and they're like, oh yeah, we could do this. Like I'm all stressed, like, man, maybe I missed that boat or something, but there really is no timeline based on what you're saying all the way up to the closing table. So that the funds don't go into your hands and then you're screwed at that point. So, I mean, really it can happen that fast, literally at the closing table is what you're saying.
Yeah. We might charge a little bit more for being right at the closing table, because it's a drop everything and get it to you as fast as we can. But yeah, as long as the exchange is set up prior to the closing, we can turn around documents usually in 24, 48 hours.
Wow. So a title company just holds the funds in that case and sends them over to you.
Oh, no, that wouldn't be the case. So, like I said, we would have to have the exchange account open before the closing, because from the closing table, those funds would have to be wired to us directly.
Got it.
If they're not, then unfortunately, then we get the sad call saying, oh, hey, TC, I closed on my property last week. I left the funds at the title company, but I want to do a 1031. And unfortunately, we can't, because one of the requirements is that us as a QI, qualified intermediary, we actually have to be assigned into the contract. And that has to happen before the closing.
Interesting. Yeah. So literally they can... A week before closing is actually a refreshing call to get. It's probably not the most convenient, but it's still way more refreshing than sitting at the closing table.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I mean, we'll take the business any way we can get it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, sounds like you guys move very, very fast. How about you, Anna? How do people get in touch with you?
So same thing. Cell phone is the best way to reach me, or email. My cell phone number is 312-343-5103. There's also some great information on our website, which is www.ipx1031.com.
Awesome. I was just going to ask about that too, and ask you if there's an FAQ page on there as well. And I'm sure there is, because this is a lot of information here, and I'm really, I would like to know more about this 30% on the 30% side. However, I'm not going to bore the audience. If they have any questions, they can talk to you about that. Guys, I really appreciate your time and your expertise on this. I hope that people find value in this, and hopefully we're out here to make a difference. And as I say on most of my podcasts, live fully, love openly, and make a difference. And that's what we're out here to do today and every day. So thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Learn more at mfcashflow.com and follow Mike on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.